Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
As you can see, we thought premiere time to actually sort of just revamp it, get a bit cool. 2017, we're celebrating 50 years since the Summer of Love. Let's just chill out, Rob.
Fragrance for men.
Exactly. Right. You know, thanks to Phil Lewis for that. We've got a few other sort of filled in as specials coming through as the program concedes.
Nice.
And it is the companion podcast for issue 569, the Watford game, taking place, as Marie said, to Sighs of Relief. On Sunday, so you can attend.
I can.
Exactly. There are people who are former lead chaplains who would have said, no, possibly, that's my busiest day.
Yeah.
But clearly.
It's not my weekend on, so it's not my busiest day this week. No, I'm at a table tennis tournament with my son on Saturday, so I was very disgruntled, but they've moved it, so.
And as we were saying earlier, of course, Fly Me to the Moon, the Tottenham game, you weren't able to make it. Result, misery.
I know. What can I say?
Was it a game of two halves, Rob?
Well, it was in a way that,
I mean, as you know, my text, I predicted 6-0 to Borough.
That was a little bit optimistic.
Exactly,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Spurs looked were quite superb, and they ran us off the park in the first half. But it wasn't a one-off, because obviously they defeated Manchester City, didn't they, the next week?
My point exactly. Mm. See, this is, you know, I thought really it's outrageous in so many ways, but that's okay.
I think a few teams have stepped up this season. There's obviously been a shock to the system, the fact that Leicester won, which was brilliant for everyone. But I think obviously they've gone out and, well, we see Manchester City and Man United have gone out and got the best, what they would see as the best managers. And all the big clubs have really tried to harden up their act. And I thought it was quite telling with Spurs, as well as the speed of thought and application, really crunching into challenges. I think that has shocked me about the Premier League, that particularly Spurs, but other teams as well, really, really tough tackling. I don't remember that 7 years ago. So you've got to have your battlers in midfield. You've got to win the ball, and you've got to, well, above all, not lose the ball. And that's what we've been doing. We've been gifting teams goals, losing the ball and allowing them to waltz through our defence. Just about every game, there's instances of that, really.
We are clearly practically our ninth game of the season in terms of the sort of things.
It's been very stop-start, hasn't it, with the international breaks?
It has. And, of course, well, when last we were together, Sam Allardyce was just preparing to get his 100% England record sorted out, which he's done. I don't know why Real Madrid haven't snapped him up. Apparently he's going to America to do a few bits and pieces there. But And we have that former man from the Borough, now with beard, Gareth in charge.
Yes.
So, interesting.
Incredible, isn't it? You say you don't want a job.
He's only got another two games, Spain and Scotland, to see through, and then that's all well, which of course brings up WeGod, which I don't really want to do at this particular stage.
No, if he's still there, Alex, it might be his last day today.
So many heaps of good things occurring as far as supplies. I mean, that's the way we just ignore that. I mean, just have to carry on. Watford approaches. The term 6-pointer has become a cliche, but actually,
it's important, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at upcoming games, they're not going to be easy with the next set of away. Arsenal, I believe, is on the horizon.
No, there's some very hard games coming up. Yeah.
But equally, Watford, who, surprisingly, actually,
I've been playing very well.
And hold on to their manager for longer than Sam Allardyce for the moment. Not much longer, exactly, but, you know, we're working through that. They could be tricky, but on the other hand, do you think
they've been very good away from home, especially, haven't they? They were 2-0 down against West Ham. I know it's West Ham. And then they put
4-2.
Four past them. Yeah, absolutely. But they've looked a real handful in all the games. But it is the kind of game that we need to get off the mark at home. Of course, we haven't won at home yet. And that would be really important. We've based our last couple of seasons of success have all been based around the fact that we've been so hard to beat at home, and that we've just, we only conceded, what, 8 league goals last season. So it was all around that. We do need to be winning games.
Should we bring back Dimi Konstantopoulos? You're nodding, Marie. Yes. You're thinking he should actually sort of be back for that.
I think he should have at least have had a chance to have proved himself in the Premiership rather than just be sat on the bench and let everybody else step up first.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, obviously I have a special place for Joe Magic Feet Hart, as I like to refer to him these days. And for superb double save. You see what we did there, Rob, obviously.
Yeah.
But a save against Slovenia, which I think people were echoing the Gordon Banks save back in 1970.
Yeah, or Jim Montgomery in the FA Cup final,
exactly,
yeah,
yes,
against Leeds.
But being obviously one of those having a Sunderland connection, I prefer to obviously just focus on the Banks save.
Okay. It was because of a double save, that's right.
Indeed, exactly.
If you knew about it.
So that was a line from that.
Yeah.
Is it a case of Victor's having difficulty acclimatising, do you think, Murray, in terms of...
I don't know, I suppose because we just got used to Dimi being so good, like Rob was just saying, they league goals and stuff, it's hard to follow that. And I think when you're not as good as that straight away, people immediately want back what they had before. So
And it's one of those Department of Aitor's unusual decisions. The other one, of course, perhaps being his reluctance to throw Jordan Rhodes in until relatively recently. I mean, that seemed to be one that he was hesitant to actually do.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Clearly, there isn't an anti-Aitor movement going as yet, is there, Rob? I mean, or are we just getting a little bit of concern? That I don't know.
No, I hope not. I think some people would prefer two up front. But for me, if Gaston Ramirez is a key player and hasn't really been performing this season so far, if he performs, then I think it's irrelevant what, for me, it's irrelevant what formation you have because he plugs all those gaps. He just makes his presence felt. We see a couple of players that, not just Victor Valdez, but, Martin Daroon and Victor Fisher yet to fully find the feet. He's giving Martin Daroon a lot of games. I think that, because, There is the chance that Martin Daroon could be a very, very influential player in the middle of the park. He's certainly performed well in leagues in Europe and when he'd been player of the year, wherever he's been really. So if he can bring that sort of form to Middlesbrough, he could be a key player. And I think he needs minutes on the pitch to rise to that level because our midfield has been so important. In both defensively and going forward. And of course, we were without our captain at the moment, aren't we? Grant Ledbetter is still injured. But it's amazing how one of the successes of the season has been Adam Forshaw coming through out of the shadows of Clayton and Ledbetter have had it their own way, really. And he's come through and he's sort of so positive and full of ideas. And great to see him sort of doing that.
Mm. You mentioned West Ham, of course. How was the stadium looking? Was there the atmosphere there? Was the walk there? Because had you attended when it was the Olympic Stadium with the Olympics?
I hadn't been inside, I'd been outside.
So it's the first time that you actually sort of gone
through.
Yeah.
So well, I'd seen the fact that it was just a shell of a ground, because that's what it was for athletics. It didn't have any concourses. They built the concourses. It's fantastic going there. You've got all the signs. They've done everything that they used to do at the Olympics. There's people standing physically with signs to direct you around the shopping centre. Wow. Don't go in the shopping centre and all the way to the stadium. But it's a different scenario when you get there and when you come out. When you get there, you're in a very much a running ground with stand, low tier stands, very flat rake put on across the running track, which means anybody in the lower section, it's not fantastic visibility because of flat rake. The upper section, you're absolutely miles from the pitch. I would say that for the managers in their dugouts, for them to get from their dugouts to the edge of the pitch, it's almost like Greg Rutherford doing his run up to do the long jump in the Olympics. It is such a distance.
You'd have to equip the players with Bluetooth things that they can
do in their ears. That is a problem. And especially when you go from Upton Park, which was a really, really tight little ground, to a bowl of a ground like that, which was, and it's not a problem that's like, oh, it's something that everybody knew. It was an athletic stadium. It was built as an athletic stadium. And then afterwards, it was chaos outside. And they've got massive problems. And for me, the authorities need to sort of get a grip. If what West Ham are saying is they don't own the stadium. So basically, they rent the stadium. They've got a fantastic deal. But they're passing the buck to the owners. The owners are passing the buck to them. So therefore, police won't operate in there because they say their radios don't operate, which how are you allowed to have a football match if the police don't feel happy about going in? Lots of problems outside, lots of problems for fans, and for and particular problems for disabled fans being treated very, very badly, home fans and away fans. It's a bit of a recipe for disaster. We hope the disaster doesn't happen, and that's why West Ham have to sort of take the responsibility seriously.
We noticed there were three arrests that are actually taking place due to scuffles after the match, and just wanted to address that, because it would be a great, great shame if we kind of saw the return to the dark days. And the Riverside, for instance, has held up and hailed up, and rightly so, as a wonderful exemplary case of how to build a ground. Bolton Wanderers obviously followed with their sort of system. There are other examples. Mentioned Man City because they obviously have revamped the former Commonwealth Stadium and it still works.
No, that's right.
Television and so on. It did seem as though, well, it was an odd decision in many ways. And I just wanted your sort of feedback in terms of having experienced it now. Was it sort of likely it worked through there? As we said, hammer time. Page 30 of the whole thing, going up the Amers London Stadium. Notice the Amers. It turned out to be a very daunting experience, which is not what you really want, particularly with the
family. No, I've heard about young kids being really traumatised and saying they don't want to go to any away matches again, and I know that Middlesbrough Football Club have spent time with them, and also they've been talking to the Football Supporters Federation, but at no point have West Ham sought to contact anybody and say really sorry this has happened, and here's complimentary tickets or whatever. West Ham haven't contacted people.
And if one's being brutally honest, one would have to say, with the kind of sums of finance that are flushing around in the Premier League these days, it doesn't really take a great deal to have a bit of reputation management, I would say.
Absolutely.
Work through that. Okay, we're going to talk more about fabulous upcoming events, plus, of course, Holmes on the Riverside thriller. We'll find out what Joe Nicholson has actually been making about life and the universe, etc., given that he's now a student at the only city that effectively Middlesbrough have actually beaten so far.
Which
is three vital precious points from that perspective. All this and more on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, founder of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition, the first ever organization to make a stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBT bullying, cyberbullying, and other forms of hate using pop culture stories that we love. We all love superheroes. Why not be one? Check out our website at www.popcultureherocoalition.org. Follow us on Facebook at Pop Culture Hero Coalition and on Twitter at @superheroIRL. Thanks so much.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialize in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. And one tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was the recipe?
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
A premier fan podcast for a premier team. You're listening to Fly Me to the Moon.
Quite right, too. I mean, he was very laconic, I feel. Director extraordinaire, Phil Lewis, and all sorts of stuff. Don't worry, we haven't lost the Bernie slaving idents and so on. And I'm sure, Rob, you'll be able to get a few more idents and things sorted out together. So we freshen it up. That's all. We freshen it up. Bring on those loops. And no one ever said that the Premier League was going to be easy. However, after a victory over Sunderland and a three-match unbeaten run, it was hard not to get just a little carried away. The words, sage words, some might say, of University of Sunderland student Joe Nicholson. And he concludes with, Justin Rhodes received his chance up front at West Ham, but lacked support for most of the afternoon. Hopefully we'll see more of the striker throughout the campaign, as well as Adam Traore, who produced an impressive cameo appearance against Spurs. We haven't talked about that other London scenario, which of course was Crystal Palace, which suddenly set off Alan Pardew as possibly being back in the running for London manager. Two or three wins, he's got to obviously be the next person after Southgate.
Because we were tipping a big win at the time, because Crystal Palace were coming to Middlesbrough and they hadn't won for an awful... It was going back into last season, wasn't it? The record in this year was horrendous. But that signing...
And their record in Middlesbrough was equally...
That's true enough, yes.
Very, very... safe for the home side, shall we say.
But it does seem that although it's cost them an awful lot of money, that Christian Benteke signing has transformed things. They've suddenly got a focus for all their attacks, and the header that he scored at the Riverside was absolutely towering header. But again, it showed in that match that you make a couple of mistakes. And the second goal, sadly, George Friend caught in possession, short back pass, or whatever he was doing. And
I actually heard a commentator on TalkSport, who admittedly used to be on the public relations team at Newcastle United, say George Friend was done like a kipper.
Yeah, he was done like a kipper. Yeah, well, it shows you that you get punished for individual mistakes in the Premier League, and it's very, very hard to then go up the other end and try and... Obviously, we got the one goal, but not enough.
They got a second, I know. Everton, brief talk about that. Were they?
Well, again, we went 1-0 ahead. This time we scored the early goal, although it was a bit lucky because
a stumbler.
It was a foul on the keeper, really, wasn't it? But
they all count.
Yes, but we did not. It's the thing you've got to do, isn't it? When you score a goal, you must sort of hold on to it for 5 or 10 minutes, and we held on to it for about a minute against Everton, and then they just ran through us. They weren't playing well that game. And they've been on such good form that we had an opportunity there, But we got overrun in the first half. Fortunately, we were able to sort of whether they sat back in the second half or we played a lot better. There was no more score after the break. But there were the big lessons in the Crystal Palace game, the Everton game, and the Spurs game, and we need to carry those lessons forward in that we will be punished by these mistakes, and we can't allow players to be waltzing across our defence. Coleman did it, and Payet for West Ham, beating lots of players on the way to tucking the ball in the back of the net. So. A lot to think about.
Keep an eye on Troy Deeney, presumably.
Oh, yeah. Well, Troy Deeney's enjoyed playing at the Riverside in the past. He's a very strong player as well, isn't he? So, yes.
But it's not all doom and gloom, Marie, because clearly positivity is there. On the 24th of October, for instance, you can actually see Fly Me to the Moon free. It's free, like a podcast, free at the Martin Library in Martin.
Yeah.
And it's a general history of the whole system between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., hosted by editor Robert Nichols.
Indeed.
Very good.
Chatting a little about the history of the fanzine and also the borough. Share with us, why is this a must-attend event for all fans of the borough, and also the Discover Middlester project, of which your good self and legendary photographer Tracy Hyman are key coordinators.
Yeah, this is a month of activities, chance to see hidden corners of Middlesbrough that starts today on 14th.
We're listening to the podcast
if you're listening to it on the 14th.
If you're listening to it afterwards,
it's already
started. Any time up to the 31st of October is good for you.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks of October. Well, actually, the last event is in November, which is a tour of the Wilton Works at night, which is interesting. There's lots of sort of...
Some of the night things are really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm really interested by the bat area, and the sort of the bats and the bells.
Bat night.
Absolutely.
Night. Yep. Well, that's the thing about coming to October. I thought that it's a time of the year when obviously the nights are drawing in, and of course halfway through this the clocks change, and it's often a time when you can't go out and you feel sort of trapped in your home when you come home from work or from school. Thought let's get as many activities as we can, that particularly in that half term, which can be a problem for parents. What do the kids do in the October half term? And embrace the fact that that it is night time, that there are things that you can do together, community activities in the night time. And we're going to look at the stars to start off with on the Friday night, in the middle of Middlesbrough. You can celebrate stars and constellations
stars
and everything, even in the middle of town.
Night.
They
exactly.
do come out at night.
You've got stargazing tents, you've got neon skies. And one of the things which people I've shared this with so far, Rob, have been so impressed with is the huge number of events that are completely free. I mean, that is phenomenal sort of work from that.
Try your best.
I mean, I appreciate that if you want the multimedia experience of Lesungspell and to find out where exactly Herateur and Shanjal, what they are today. I mean, if I said, welcome to Herateur, would you have a clue, Marie, as to what
I
mean?
No, I wouldn't.
Hartlepool.
Oh.
It's a tale that is being told by Bob Beegree, effectively, in Old English, Modern English, and Cleveland, Yorkshire, and Northumbrian dialect forms.
Yes, a journey in Anglo-Saxon times, or Anglian times, from Hartlepool to Whitby, which is a journey that Hilda, if you like.
Saint Hilda, to some of us.
Yes, she went from Hartlepool to Whitby and then became quite a central part in history, because it was Hilda, or Hild, who decided when we should celebrate Easter.
Yeah.
So,
I'm amazed, Marie, you weren't on the case for that one. Sometimes, just holding back there. It's all good.
So that actually, he's actually got Heritage Lottery grant to take that on tour around the country. He actually launched that at the British Museum. It's a phenomenal piece of work, and he speaks in all the different dialects and different languages, really. And interesting that we should be saying this today on the 950th anniversary of, well, when Battle of Hastings is about to commence.
Precisely. Watch out for that arrow! Sorry.
Because, have you been following it? You could follow it for the last couple of weeks. You could follow the army going south from Stamford Bridge, where they beat Harold Hardrada.
Nothing to do with Chelsea, of course.
Nothing to do with Chelsea.
So I'm
going back to what you were saying. I'll be doing a little talk in the Martin Library, and that'll be the Monday after we've beaten Arsenal.
easy peasy, you know, and so on. Homes at the Riverside Thriller has reached chapter 3. Marie, of course, this is a sole reason for subscribing to Flying.
Yeah. It is. Really? I've just been saying to Rob, I'm going to gather all my books up so I can read it all in one go at the end when the final one is out.
And indeed, you can pre-order another 6 adventurers featuring Burroughs' greatest detective on the 11th of November 2016 when it's actually published, but you can pre-order before then.
Holmes so Volume 2.
Great stuff there. So, Discover Middlesbrough, we've discovered that whole routine and we found it. Yeah. We've discovered it's wonderful, and why not indeed. Marie, prediction for the Watford game. What are you going to go for?
2-1 to Borough.
Yep, I'll echo that. I think it probably will be a 2-1. I mean, I think it needs to be a 2-1 because anything less than that and people will start getting just a little bit
I mean,
concerned.
I would edgy. Accept any score where the Borough's got more than Watford's, but 2-1 is what we're going for.
As ever, finger on the pulse of that point of view, Rob.
Yeah, I would like that as well, 2-1. That would mean that the point gained at West Ham was very much a point gained, that we've built on that. We need to get some wins now, don't we?
And given that Aita Karanka actually said earlier when he was commenting on the good start, the unbeaten start to the season, that obviously when they start losing, he might start shooting people. He's only kidding. Don't worry. You know, we don't want him to go postal. Let's face it. That's the important thing. So you've been listening to the Fly Me to the Moon official podcast for issue 569 versus Watford. Actually, Rob, I've got to ask the question. Do you think you might mention the podcast in your talk on the 24th? You know, remind people that it's actually there? Because, I mean, I feel we're part of the Fly Me to the Moon magazine. In history, you're going to say we're embracing the 21st century. We now actually have a podcast. You can listen to that.
Yes, good point.
Yeah, I think that's critical stuff. As he throws the thing down to one side, people can find out about Discover Middlesbrough, of course, by going to middlesbrough.com, lovemiddlesbrough.com. Let's be precise, lovemiddlesbrough.com/discovermiddlesbrough. How can people subscribe to the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon, the fanzine?
If you go to the website fmttm.com and click on subscribe, that should take you to there, or give me an email at. robshug@gmail.com, or you can write to Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brent Null Centre, Jilks Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP.
Sensational. Marie, it's been, as ever, a delight sharing the thoughts with your good self, and I know in the wonderful sort of chorale that we actually have that wraps up the whole sort of sequence, we're still going with those 7 magical words. That sort of conclude with this whole system. Interesting enough that Dimmy also appears on Neil Weldon's article. Apologies if we haven't mentioned your name and you have contributed to the Fly Me to the Moon routine, as we can tell with Discover Middlesbrough. So much to pack in.
Yeah.
So little time.
Yeah.
Barely sort of we thought we could do it. We have. We'll be back, of course, for another event very shortly. But can we conclude with those 7 simple words? A 1, a 2, a 3.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough.
Fly Me to the Moon. Taking Middlesbrough football fans through the Premiership cosmos. And hey, if I'm mispronouncing Middlesbrough, realize, 1, I'm an American, and 2, it's the fault of the YouTube pronunciation video.